Anand Koti Vaishnavin Ki Jai. Nama Charja Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Rayam Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktivin Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kunradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. Navadip Tham Ki Jai. Jagannath Kui Ki Jai. Gangamayi Ki Jai. Shamanamayi Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktivin Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories be assembled to God. Go Premanande. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kechit Jatam Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye Yado Priyasya Anvavaye Malayasya Iva Chandanam Kechidahurajam Jatam Punya shlokasya kirtaye
Punya shlokasya kirtaye
Yado priyasyan vavaye
Yado priyasyan vavaye
Malayasyeva chandanam
Malayasyeva chandanam
Kechidahurajam jatam
Kechidahurajam jatam
Punya shlokasya kirtaye
Punya shlokasya kirtaye
Yado priyasyan vavaye
Yado priyasyan vavaye
Malayasyeva chandanam
Malayasyeva chandanam
Kechidahurajam jatam Punya shlokasya kirtaye Yado priyasya anvavaye Malayasyeva chandanam
Kechidahurajam jatam Punya shlokasya kirtaye
Yado priyasyan vavaye
Malayasyeva chandanam
Kechit ahur ajam jatam
Punya shlokasya kirtaye
Yado priyasyan vavaye
Malayasyeva chandanam
Kechidahurajam jatam
Punya shlokasya kirtaye
Yado priyasyanvaye
Malayasyeva chandanam
Kechit
someone
Ahu
says
Ajam
the unborn
Jatam
being born
Punya shlokasya
of the great pious king
Kirtaye
for glorifying
Yado of King Yadu
Priyasya
of the deer
Anvavaye
in the family
of
Malayasya.
Malayasya.
Malaya hills.
Eva.
Eva. As.
Yes.
Chandanam.
Chandanam.
Sandalwood.
Sandalwood.
Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. And others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Purport. Because the Lord's appearance in this material world is bewildering, there are different opinions about the birth of the unborn. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he takes his birth in the material world, although he is the Lord of all creations and he is unborn. So there cannot be any denial of the birth of the unborn, because he himself establishes the truth. But still there are different opinions as to why he takes his birth. That is also declared in the Bhagavad Gita. He appears to protect the pious and to annihilate the impious. That is the mission of the appearance of the unborn. Still, it is said that the Lord is there to glorify the pious King Yudhisthira. Lord Sri Krishna certainly wanted to establish the kingdom of the Pandavas for the good of all in the world. When there is a pious king ruling over the world, the people are happy. When the ruler is impious, the people are unhappy. In the age of Kali, in most cases, the rulers are impious, and therefore the citizens... If he wants to talk on the telephone, then we'll go someplace else, please. Tell him. Everyone else can please do a cell phone check, make sure the phones are off. When there's a pious king ruling over the world, the people are happy. When the ruler is impious, people are unhappy. In the age of Kali, in most cases, the rulers are impious, and therefore the citizens are also continuously unhappy. But in the case of democracy, the impious citizens themselves elect their representative to rule over them, and therefore they cannot blame anyone but themselves for their unhappiness. Maharaj Nala was also celebrated as a great pious king, but he had no connection with Lord Krishna. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira is meant here to be glorified by birth in his family. Although he is known as Yadava, Yaduvir, Yadunandan, etc., he is always independent of such obligations. He is just like the sandalwood that grows in the Malaya hills. Trees can grow anywhere and everywhere. Yet because the sandalwood trees grow mostly in the area of the Malaya hills, the name sandalwood and the Malaya hills are interrelated. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is ever unborn like the sun, and yet he appears as the sun rises on the eastern horizon. As the sun is never the sun of the eastern horizon, so the Lord is no one's son, but he is the father of everything that be. Om Jnana Timiran Tasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Tada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Gaganatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatrutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sintau Dina Vantau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Naka Kanta Namoste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Karuna Devi Pranamami Pancha Kolkutarubhyascha Kripasindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnevyo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kechadavur Ajam Jatam Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye Yado Priyasyan Vavaye Malayas Yeva Chandan Here different opinions are being cited for the reason for the Lord's appearance. Kechid ahu. Some say this, some say that, some have another opinion. Because it's mysterious. Ajan. The Lord is Ajan. He has no birth. Of course, the living entity is also Ajan. Ajo Shashvatam, Ajo Nityam Shashvatam, Purana, Nahangate Hangimane Shahide. Therefore, it's also mysterious. Why does the living entity come to this material world foolishly? That's another mystery. His stubborn obstinacy, why he wants to come. But here, Aja means the Supreme Personality of God. Ajopi san vyatma bhutanam isharopi swam prakritim swam atishthaya sambhavami atma. The Lord has no birth. Avyayatma. He has no death also. He's inexhaustible. But he's different from the ordinary living entity. Bhutanam Isharopi san. He's the supreme controller of all living entities, of all manifestations. Bhutanam Isharopi san. The living entity can't say that he's the controller of everything. He's controlled. He's under the power of the material energy. Prakriti sthani karshati. Because he's only a tiny fragment of the Supreme Lord. Mamivam sujiva loke jivita sanatana. Manashastan indriyani prakatistan parshati. Because he's only a tiny part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not the Supreme Controller. So Aja here means the Supreme Aja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that Ajam is Jata. He's born. Devaki Janmavadu, he's said to be the son of Devaki. So it appears that although he's unborn, he takes birth. This is contradictory. So, why is the unborn born? That's the question. And people are giving different answers. Different sages, different munis are giving different answers. So, some say, Punya Shlokasya Kirtiye. He comes to glorify the pious kings. Pious kings means especially his devotees. The devotees are always engaged in glorifying the Lord. Satatam kirtayanto mam tantas cha dridhapata namasyantas jumam bhaktya mitya yukto upasati. And so the Lord also glorifies his devotees. As the devotees also are engaged in glorifying the Lord also takes pleasure in glorifying the devotees. The devotee takes pleasure in glorifying the Lord. Tushanti cha ramanti cha. The Lord, he enjoys glorifying his devotees. And it's purposeful also that the world should know that the devotees are the only glorious persons. Everyone else is inglorious. Ye bhaje shevana abhaktahin char. Devotees are great and everyone else is wretched. So, Punya Shlokasya, the pious kings, Punya Shlokasya, Kirtiye, to glorify them. Punya Shlokasya Kirtiye. Could you please turn off your cell phone?
One point.
Cell phone, mobile, bun ki jie, please turn off your phone. And people should be advised that the courtyard is also not the place for cell phone conversations. You can stay home and talk on the telephone. Whoever has a cell phone, please turn it off. If you can't turn it off, please go away and talk on your telephone and receive your very important calls. And if you don't know how to turn off your cell phone, give it back to the people who sold it to you. People have gone so crazy for cell phones. I was in our Delhi temple in Kartik Mas, and some visitor is offering arti to the deities like this. Even I see people passing urine and talking on their cell phones. Vacho vegam. The urge to speak is so powerful. And messages, people have to receive their urgent messages. Urgent message means useless message. Their thinking is very urgent. What is that in Bhagavatam? Rinam Santi Sahasrasa. What is that? Pashtam Matmatashvam. Shrotavyadani Rajendra Rinam Santi Sahasrasa. For the materialistic people, there's so many thousands of things to talk about. Because of Pashtam Matmatashvam, they don't know, they're blind to the Atma Tattva, spiritual realization. Griheshu Grihamedina. They're simply stuck in trying to enjoy happiness from family life. So they have so many topics to talk about, whose birthday it is, what should we buy, so many things. But Punya Shloka Sudhirtiya, Krishna doesn't come to this world to gossip, to waste time in idle chatter. But his appearance is purposeful. He comes to glorify the pious kings. The king is very important. Naranam cha naradhipam, among men, Krishna says, I'm represented by the king. The king is supposed to be the leader of the citizens. Yata raja tata raja. As the king, so the people. If the king is a fool and rascal, the people will be unhappy. And if the king is a pious king, the king is engaged in the service of the Lord, by carefully performing his prescribed duties, then the people will be happy. The duty is of the king is to see that everyone is engaged in his prescribed duties, whether as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, intellectual, or military man or administration, or farming business, or ordinary labor. Everyone should be engaged properly. Yata pravritir bhutanam yena sarvavidam bhutam. So karmana tamabhyarsha siddhim nindati manam. By being properly engaged in one's prescribed duty for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become perfect. So the king has to see to it. And therefore the king should be a qualified person. And the most important qualification is that he should be a devotee of the Lord. Vishnu Bhakta Smita Dayava Asura Stadhi Bhakti. King should not be a demon. Devotee of the Lord means devotee of Vishnu and Krishna. Otherwise, Ravana was also a devotee, a great devotee of Lord Shiva. But he's not counted as pious. He's not counted as a great devotee. He's counted as an asura. Because Vishnu Bhakti Smita Dayava, those who are devotees of Vishnu are counted as the divine persons. And asura stadhi party, those who are not engaged in the service of Vishnu, who are just the opposite, are counted as the demons. So Punya Shloka. Therefore, Krishna wanted a king like Yudhisthira Maharaj, not a king like Dhritarashtra or Duryodhana, not a fool or a rascal, not a blind, spiritually blind. Dhritarashtra was blind, Duryodhana was also blind. Because paschatam atmatattvam, lacking in spiritual understanding, lacking in understanding of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, Krishna's business was vinashaya chakushputam, to get rid of such unwanted elements, and prajanaya sadhunam, to give favor to the devotees. Sadhu means devotees. Sadhu reva samantavya. When the king is capable, he should not only be a devotee, he should also be capable. Among devotees, some are brahminically inclined, some are inclined to business, some are this way, that way. But the king should be a qualified person in terms of being able to execute the duties of a king. And he should be a devotee of it. Both things should be there. Soryam tejo jitir dakshin yudhe chapya pavayam dhanami shudapavishtra kshatram karmasham. He should be powerful. You need a king who's got power, not a weakling. Not indecisive or timid. He has to be powerful. Sauryam, tejo, brave, powerful. Dhriti, expert. To run the state is no joke. It's not child's play. He has to be expert. How to control the ministers, because ministers are always up to something. They'll take bribes, they'll have their own interests, or they'll have some useless scheme. But the king has to keep the ministers in mind, engage them properly. Tejo, Soryam Tejo Jyoti, he has to be determined to see things through from beginning to end. Not that he just starts something and then when it gets rough, he gives up. He has to be strongly determined, expert, and yudhe chapya pavayam. He should never flee from a fight. The modern heads of state stay in their executive mansions and send out someone else to fight. And in case of danger, they have some cavern that they can escape to, where they'll be protected. That means they're cowards. The actual Kshatriya has to be up front. He can't send others out to fight while he stays home, getting the action on his cell phone. He has to be out there. He shouldn't come back simply because things got rough. He has to win, or else be killed, or so wounded so that he can't continue. He can't just, so it's getting difficult, and come back, slink back to the palace. You know, he has to be powerful, and he has to be courageous. Otherwise, why should anyone else? He's the commander-in-chief. Commander-in-chief means that he's out there. Not that the commander is staying home, eating nicely, drinking nicely. And Dhanam, you should be very generous. Not that the king simply, their country's the head of state, he's just the biggest thief in the country. Enormous amounts of money he's stealing, because he knows I'll only be here for a short time. Now let me steal as much as possible. Or he tries to be there longer, stealing as long as possible. And giving to his own associates as much as necessary. But an actual king, he has to be like the cloud. The cloud collects water, and the cloud distributes water in the form of rain. So the king has to distribute charity like rainfall. His distribution of charity should be profuse. No one will be in difficulty, because the king will see to it. Everyone has sufficient. Anyone in trouble can come to the king. The king will see, yes, here, take. Dhanam, you should be generous. Especially to the Brahmins. The Brahmins don't work. They're not employed by anyone. They're independent. So the duty of the king is to be charitable, especially to the Brahmins. They'll give service, the most important service, by giving vision to the society, by giving spiritual knowledge. Therefore, because they're the most important, they should be maintained by the king. So Dhanam, he should be generous. Not to the Brahmins, to everyone, but especially to the Brahmins. Brahmins and devotees. Dhanam. Even today in the Muslim countries, the ruler spends so much money for building temples, not temples, building mosques. Everywhere you'll see there's so many mosques built by the king. And usually the king will make at least one big, big mosque. He spends his money for the glorification of God. Maybe he doesn't have the same Vedic understanding, but the idea is there that to provide the opportunity for the people to worship, to provide a place for glorifying God, money should be spent lavishly. Yes, this is correct. The kings in India used to build big, big temples. Now,
government is simply interested in taking over big, big temples so that they can use the revenue for their own purposes. They think, what are these temples? Simply useless. But they're getting money. And we can use that money and engage it this way, that way. The temples have so much land, so that land we can take and use in some other way. But the pious kings, they would establish temples, they would endow temples with charitable contributions. Dharma samsthapana, because they're servants of the Lord, so they serve the purposes of the Lord by reestablishing religious principles. Dharma samsthapana, to establish religious principles. Krishna puts a king like Yudhisthira Maharaj in charge. And a king like Yudhisthira, to establish religious principles, spreads Krishna consciousness. So punyaslokasya, kirtaya. Some say that you appeared to glorify such pious kings as Yudhisthira Maharaj. And yado priyasyan babaye. And to glorify Yadu also, another pious king. You've appeared in his family. Malayasyeva chandam. The way that sandalwood trees appear in the Malaya hills. Those trees don't have to appear there. There are lots of places to appear. But they, because they appear there, the place is, the trees are known as Malaya sandalwood. There are lots of things, just like in railway stations, there are different things. In Agra ka Peta, this Peta suite is, you can make anywhere. You take a pumpkin, you take some sugar, prepare it properly, and you can make this bait. But it's especially known that in Agra, it's nicely made. So Agra ka bait. In Vrindavan, it's peta. In Allahabad, Amrud, this guava. Guava can grow anywhere, but it especially grows in this area, Allahabad. So Allahabad becomes famous for, of course, lawyers and peta. guava, Amrud. Lawyers also can be anywhere, but Allahabad lawyer also is. So these different things can appear in different places, and then the place becomes known for that. And, oh, Allahabad, you get nice guava. Agra, you get nice paper. Otherwise, it can be any place. But the place becomes known for that. The guava doesn't become any better for being in Allahabad. It's not that it tastes better because it's in Allahabad. It can be any place else and be equally good. But the place becomes known that, oh, you get nice guavas there. Every place, something, Dubai, gold. So many Indians are going to Dubai and getting gold. So the Krishna can appear anywhere. Swarat, he's independent. Independent means wherever he likes to go, he can go. But he chooses to appear in a certain family, in a certain place. Then that family becomes glorified, that place becomes glorified. Just like Mathura Vrindavan is glorified. Krishna could have appeared any place. But because he chose to take his birth in Mathura Vrindavan, so that place is eternally associated with the Lord and eternally glorified. Tadtama Vrindavan. The family Yadu dynasty, Yadu Vamsha. It's glorified because Krishna appeared there. Similarly, India is glorious because Krishna appears here. Not only in one incarnation, but in so many. Rama, Krishna, many, many incarnations appear in India. So India becomes glorified. Punyabhumi. Otherwise, of course, now they think that India is glorious because it has cheap IT workers. But that's not actually the cheap IT workers. You can get in China also, you can get in America also, you can get in Ireland also, so many places you can get. And what is the benefit finally? But the real benefit in human life is Krishna consciousness. And India is fortunate that Krishna appeared here and the Vedic culture has its its seat in India, center of Vedic culture. Now it's gradually being lost. People want Western standard enjoyment, which means Western standard suffering. The Western idea, the West is the ideal of enjoyment, but it's the model of suffering also. They have, such big buildings, gadgets, everything. But are they happy? No. You see the face. Now, how they're in anxiety, how they're in trouble, distress. Because they're trying to be happy by gratifying their senses. And by sense gratification, in the mode of passion, rajasastu palam dukkham, the result is not happiness, the result is suffering. And those who imitate will get the same result, they'll suffer. Antayatandarupam. By following the blind, one winds up in the ditch. Blindly following the blind. One winds up in the ditch. Throwing away spiritual culture for materialistic advancement means losing everything. Materialistic advancement means you don't get anything because it's only temporary. And it's not what it appears to be. And if you throw away your spiritual advancement, then you've lost that also. The material advancement you lose because it's nothing. And the spiritual advancement you lose because you throw it away. And then you're empty. You have nothing. So India is not meant for that, for becoming a cheap, unhappy imitation. It's meant for giving spiritual knowledge to the world. Therefore, Prabhupada actually set the standard for making India glorious. By preaching the glories of Krishna all over the world, he actually established the glory of India. India, of course, that's not the purpose, that India should become glorious. The purpose is that Krishna should be glorified. But when we glorify Krishna, automatically India becomes glorified. The person who's glorifying becomes glorified. His family becomes glorified. Every place from which he came becomes glorified. Everything. That Chanakya Pandit also says. And if one fragrant flower is there in the forest, the whole forest becomes aromatic. Whole forest becomes aromatic. And if one fire is there in one tree, the whole forest burns down. Just like this Duryodhana, he smashed his whole dynasty, ruined his whole family. So if someone becomes a devotee of the Lord, his whole family becomes glorious. Just like Krishna, Devaki Janmavado. So Devaki is also glorified because Krishna is known as Devaki Nandan. So Devaki is also glorified because he's known as Yadu Nandan. Yadu is also glorified because he's known as Nanda Nandan. So Nanda Maharaj is also glorified because Krishna is there. Tatrashira Vidriyo Bhutir Dhruvanitir Nitir. As soon as Krishna is there, everything becomes glorious. So to become a devotee means to become connected with Krishna. If someone becomes a devotee, his whole family is glorified. Whole family is glorified. Ko navidvan dharma, Chanakya Pandit again says, what is the use of a son who's neither learned nor a devotee of the Lord? He's like a blind eye, only useful for giving pain, not for seeing. So, and then people ask, if the son becomes a devotee, then he's throwing away his life and he's not doing his duty and this, that, all rubbish. If someone becomes a devotee of Krishna, he performs the best service for his family. Even Hiranyakashipu, who was a Pakka demon, he became glorious by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj. To be killed by Nrisimhadeva is also to become glorious. Not everyone gets to be killed by Nrisimhadeva. The ordinary demon can't have such good fortune. But Nrisimhadeva killed Hiranyakashipu, so Hiranyakashipu becomes in one way glorious. Even to be associated as the enemy, Kamsa also becomes famous. Kamsa Nishudana. Yadunanda, but even Kamsa Nishudana. The killer of Kamsa. So if you're going to be a demon, you should be such a demon that you'll be killed by Krishna. Otherwise, don't waste your time. Krishna could have killed so many other demons, but he killed Kamsa. So that's Kamsa's good fortune. He attained liberation by being killed by Krishna. Hiranyakashipu obtained liberation by being killed by Krishna. Because Krishna's kind to everyone, even to his so-called enemies. He's kind by killing them, giving them liberation. Both Krishna is kind to the demons like Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu. Then what to speak of devotee like Devaki or Prahlad Maharaj? How glorious they become by being associated with Krishna. Oh, somehow or other we should be associated with Krishna, Krishna's service. Then our life becomes nice. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? There are many autocrats who've caused havoc, and there are many Democrats who've caused havoc. Havoc is not limited to kings. Presidents, prime ministers, they can cause so much havoc. Why only kings? But it's very difficult for a president or a prime minister to do anything good, because there's no power. Even if he wants to do anything good, to become president, you have to be bought and sold 10,000 times before you can get into that office. There was some political commentator, he said, anyone who's done what you have to do to become the presidential candidate for a major political party should be automatically barred from office. So, by the time you're in office, you owe your life to so many vested interests, corporate sponsors, political magnates, political powers. You're not a free man. Even practically these days, they're puppets. Some actor is placed in the post of chief executive. Some pretty face. And it doesn't have the independence. Suppose that the Prime Minister, Pradhan Mantri, if he decided that now, from now on in India, there'll be no more cow killing. That would be good. But he doesn't have the power. First of all, he probably doesn't have the will either. But even if he had the will, doesn't have the power. How much good can he do? Then he has to go to the parliament and say, please, this, that. Or try to twist arms, and then the arms twist him back. He doesn't have power. If he wants to do good, it's very difficult. But to do mischief is a lot easier. For that, he'll go to the same parliament, and everybody's office door is open. What can I do for you? Means, what can you do for me? Or, what can we do for one another? For that, every office is open, and every office is an opportunity. For mischief, there's so much scope. And for doing good, it's very difficult. But if one is actually king with power, immediately he can do something. Just like Parikshit Maharaj. Kali appeared
You get out. I'll kill you at once. Not, I'll go to the parliament and get a vote. Immediately, you get out. Or he could be merciful also. All right, I'll give you some little place. It was up to him. He didn't have to wait to talk to a committee, talk to a subcommittee, talk to... No. Get permission. Immediately. Doctrine. He knew the principles of religion. And Sorya, he had the power to see that they were not violated. He could do good. Indian history is full of the history of kings who've done wonderfully also. Only the recent history, as you say, recent history. Recent history means history of Kali Yuga. Dasyu Prayeshu Rajashu. The kings are practically bandits, plunderers, or any executive political leader, plunderers. And previously they were glorious. But the so-called democratic regime with power to the people is another cheating. The people are bewildered thinking that they have power. They have no power. How much money do you have? That much power do you have? It's not simply by numerical votes. And anyway, numerical votes, who's in the greatest number? The fools. You take any place in the world, and who's in the greatest majority, the most intelligent people or the least intelligent people? Least intelligent. They're always the most numerous. If you want somebody who's got no brain, go to any street corner, you'll find thousands. There's no problem, no shortage. But to find a very intelligent person, that's rare. So when you have government by majority, the majority are fools. So who will they elect? And the clever men, they'll figure out how to manipulate the majority by promising them something or by some this way of cheating, that way of cheating, manipulate the majority and get into office somehow or other. Or sometimes you don't even have to get a majority vote. Stalin, he said, it's not the votes that count, it's who counts the votes. We've seen this in America also, the great democracy. By cheating, someone gets elected. By outright cheating. So how is it an improvement on kings? Oh, monarchy is the cause of so much havoc. Democracy is the cause of equal or greater havoc. Okay. Otherwise, if the democracy, if the president becomes Krishna conscious, then maybe, but it's more difficult to do something because he doesn't have power. Yes.
I have The Vedic kings, Maharaj, how was it? They many times talk about a democratic government showing a great religious tolerance, where you know the different faiths can go on with like whatever level of practice they
have. The democratic government has religious tolerance; everyone can go along with everything. They have, not only have religious tolerance; they have tolerance for everything. Every kind of rascaldom can go on. But it's not that democracy necessarily has religious tolerance or that monarchy necessarily doesn't. When there's an enlightened ruler, then he just sees that everybody's following their religious principles. Not that monarchy has to mean intolerance. There are so many kings, and even until recently, in India, there were so many kings, and India had greater religious tolerance than any place in the world. There were Buddhists, there were Jains, there were Muslims, there were Hindus, there were so many things. There were Vaishnavas, there were Shivas, there were this, there were that. And the king didn't bang on everybody's head. He gave everyone scope. Christians also. Yes, welcome. Jews also. Everyone. That was not introduced by the British. That was already there. Acharyas recommend collective management?
Like Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur emphasized on having GBC and like
GBC, they're not the management. They're to oversee that things are going properly. Management is actually temple president. Monarch. Prabhupada wanted that each temple should be independently constituted. In every temple, there should be a president, there should be a vice president, there should be a secretary, there should be a treasurer. That means monarchy. Then the GBC should see that things are going on properly, that's all. Not that they run everything. It's not the GBC's business to get into every temple and run every temple. That's the temple president. And governing bodies to see that the standards are being kept every place. Things are going on nicely. Is that all right? Otherwise, if the GBC had to manage everything, oh my goodness. That should be done by the local competent person. Something else, yes.
How should we understand the term fortune in the case of devotees and non-devotees? Is it their own
country? A little louder, please.
How should we understand the term fortune? Case of devotees or
non-devotees?
Is it their own karmic reactions or
Ajnana Surabhi or fortune? Means your destiny according to your previous activities or according to the mercy of the Lord. Those who are devotees, their fortune. Everyone else has misfortune. What else do you want to know? Is that all right?
So generally, there are karmic reactions.
Karmic reactions means you get the results of your own activities. Simple thing. Prabhupada said, man is the architect of his own fortune. As you reap, so shall you, as you sow, so shall you reap. Plant corn, you get corn. Plant wheat, you get wheat. Plant nothing, you get nothing. Yes.
As you were mentioning, like we are working in a corporate environment, companies and all. So sometimes Maharaj, like these VPs and presidents of company and all, they give some talks. So you actually hear some stupid philosophy spoken by them, in which sometimes they speak even on spiritual matters, their own ideas and all. So now because you are working, you are bound to like hear that. So I mean, in such cases like. But we get some, because those are sometimes really very strange ideas and all. So we are accountable for that,
Of course, if they're blaspheming the Lord, then you can just leave. He can be VP or whoever he is. But if he's going to blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the devotees of the Lord, you can just excuse yourself. You know, you had a stomach ache or something. You can walk out of him. He's not such an important man. Krishna is more important. We're not maintained by the VP. We're maintained by Krishna. Otherwise, everyone speaks so much rubbish and we just say yes, 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 yes. That's ordinary dealings. Everyone, not only devotees, everyone knows that the boss always speaks so much rubbish. And the VPs and so many people, they come and they speak something. Everybody goes, yeah, 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 yeah. And when they're gone, then everybody gets back to work and says, what a fool he was. What's their destination? According to those who are very serious devotees of Lord Shiva, then they get the association of Lord Shiva. Otherwise, those who are just officially devotees, according to their karma. How should we do it? If possible, make them devotees of Krishna. That's good. Otherwise, are you convinced them that, yes, Lord Shiva is glorious because he is the servant of Krishna? Give them books. Bhagavatam, these things are there. We published an issue of Back to Godhead, a special Shivaratri issue. I don't know if you saw it. In Bombay, they published in English, special Shivaratri issue, all full of the glories of Lord Shiva, because the Shivaratri is so glorified. But the bottom line was that he's glorious because he's a devotee of Krishna. And that was a very successful issue, so then they published a Ganesh Chaturthi issue. Same theme, because he's a devotee of Krishna. So we appreciate all the demigods because they're devotees of Krishna. So you can, in that way, try to get them to understand this. Aham adhiri devanam. If they accept Bhagavad Gita, then they should accept that Krishna is Adideva, the source of all the devas.
Shortly, this temple complex, they have demigods, and shortly one more temple is going to come out of Chaiva. So we are ISKCON devotees here. So we have to preach also.
So you can keep you can keep your shoes there.
Thank you.
have some videos of him doing his magic tricks, you know. And I have one godbrother who's a magician. He, you know, does for social events and so on. He supports his family. He saw the videos. He said, he's not even a good magician. We preach very strongly. Anyone who's accepting an ordinary human being as God is committing the greatest apparatus. They're thinking that they're religious men because they're worshipping such and such Baba. They're committing offenses to the Supreme Lord. Preach. Be very strong in that. Not that because so many foolish ministers are accepting him as something, we have to accept him as something. You know the story of the emperor's new clothes? Silent. We should speak. That's our job. Maybe they'll think, oh, we chose the wrong place. We have to go someplace else. Yeah. Challenge them. Some pedophile is the Supreme Lord. Why do we have to accept this?
I'm just taking for the class. Today, it is said that Prabhupada Prabhupada mentions it many times, and even Prahlad Maharaj prayed like that, that the happiness and the distress of a particular living entity is
very... See, just what I'm thinking. Actually, all of those who have temples to Lord Shiva, to Vishnu, to anybody, they should all protest that he's not anybody. He's not Vishnu, he's not Shiva, how can there be a temple to some rascal? They should all protest, actually. At least to worship Shiva, to worship Durga, to worship Ganesh, it's there in Shastra. It's not first class, but it's there. You can say it's Vedic. But yes, if you want to worship Shiva, you do it this way. You want to worship Durga Devi, you do it this way. You want to worship Lakshmi, you do it this way. You want to worship Ganesh, you do it this way. But where is it you want to worship some magician who claims to be God? He should be worshipped with shoes in his face. Of that Sai Baba. Oh, he's different. So, who's he? I don't know either. Then, if he's a devotee of Lord Krishna, then worship Krishna. Why are you worshipping this Baba, that Baba? Worship Krishna. Even the Babas have to say, yes, you should worship Krishna. So then do that. The other things may be right or wrong, but Krishna consciousness is right. You know, this Baba, this. Maybe, at best, maybe, actually no, but to give little broad-mindedness, maybe not. But Krishna definitely. So why work with a maybe? Why waste our time on a maybe when Krishna is a definitely? It just makes sense. Why give up a sure thing for a maybe? And of course it's not even a maybe, that's a different thing. But if he's a devotee of Krishna, that's nice. So then we should worship Krishna.
In India, when you take Hanuman, he's a devotee of Krishna, Rama.
Who?
Hanuman.
Yeah. Then?
They pray here in India. And even the Baba, some people believe today is...
But what do they want from Hanuman? They're praying to Hanuman. What do they want?
That's left to each individual.
Huh?
I mean, that is left to each individual, what they want.
Well, anyway, there are so many individuals. What are they worshipping for, generally? They're worshipping Hanuman. Why? What do they want?
Bhakti.
They want bhakti. To whom? Good. Then why are they only worshipping Hanuman? Why are they not worshipping the Lord?
Give the same bhakti what you have to me.
That's good. Then you become Ram Bhakta. But so many are worshipping Hanuman, they just want some material benefit. Hanuman is also like God, so they want some benefit. That's useless. But if they pray to Hanuman, that you're such a great devotee of Ram, you please let me have that kind of bhakti to Ram, that's very good. We're happy. The gopis were also praying to Katyayani, Durga. But they weren't praying to Durga, please give me money, please give me health, please give me happiness, please give me... Please let us be engaged in the service of Krishna. Then? But we don't mind, we can go to all the temples. My dear Lord Shiva, my dear Devi, my dear Hanuman, my dear everybody, you please give your blessings that I can be engaged in the service of Krishna. Then it's good. We're not against the worship of so many gods. But in that mood, that I'm offering my obeisances to you, please let me be engaged in the service of Krishna. Shanti Rakya, please. Hello. Can you please be quiet? Thank you. Rukmini was also praying to Shiva and Parvati. And now this rascal's supposed to marry me. And time is getting very less, so you please let Krishna kidnap me. If I ever did anything to satisfy you, to please you, and please, 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 let Krishna come kidnap. So that kind of worship to the Devi Devatas. Please let me become captured in the service of Krishna. That's good. That's very good. Otherwise, please give me money, please give me health. You're also God, you're also God, you're also God, you're also God. That means, Pashandi. Yastu narayanam devam brahmarudrari daivatai. Samatayanaya vikshetha yat pashandi padayati. Anyone who thinks that Shiva is also God, Brahma is also God, Ganesh is also God, Hanuman is also God, this one's also God, that one's also God, Narayan is also God. So many. He's Pashandi, he's an atheist. It's like I say that the president of India's, who's president now? Mr. Patel. So he's the president, and you're also 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 the president. That's insulting to the president, and he's no one. He's president because he has a unique post. It's only him. If everyone's the president, then no one's the president. Ahamni sarva yagyanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha. Atumam abhijanati tatvena tas chivantite. Krishna is the supreme lord.
Krishna says, I'm the only actual supreme enjoyer. I'm the person to whom all sacrifices should be given. Aham hi sarvayajnanam bhokta chakodare vichu. Not the, this one also. A misunderstanding. Therefore, Krishna says, mam ekam sharanam. Anything else? Should we stop here? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda bhakta vrinda ki
jai.
Gaur Vrinda.